This is Focus 580, our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Producers for the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Jason Croft is at the controls this morning, and this is hour number two of the program. Back in 1986, a congressional report concluded that more than 500,000 working Americans had fraudulent degrees. Since then, the problem reportedly has gotten much worse, with thousands of fake degrees being sold every week, including medical and law degrees. We'll be talking about the problem this morning in this hour of the show, talking about it and talk about the damage caused, and we have two guests for the program, Alan Easel and George Gollan. Alan Easel is the author, co-author of a book entitled Degree Mills. He is a former FBI agent whose specialty when he was in the FBI was white-collar crime, and he was also the person who, in 1980, established the FBI's Diploma Scam Task Force. And for the next 11 years, he was involved in investigations on suspected degree mills throughout the United States and abroad. The book, and by the way, if you're interested, is entitled Degree Mills, the Billion-Dollar Industry that has sold over 1 million fake diplomas. And it is published by Prometheus Books. If you were interested in reading the book, you can head out to the bookstore and take a look at it. Also joining us this morning in the studio is George Gollan. He's professor of physics here at the University of Illinois. And this is something that he is particularly interested in. Glad to have them both here. Also, I would like to mention, indeed, that there will be a talk on this subject that will be going on the U of I campus. This is an event sponsored by the Center for Advanced Study, and our guest, Alan Easel, will be giving a talk on the subject of degree mills. That's this afternoon, 4 o'clock, at the Levis Faculty Center. This is on West Illinois Street in Urbana on the U of I campus. It is free and open to the public. Anybody who is interested in attending should feel welcome. Otherwise, here on the program, questions are welcome too. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, thank you both very much.
Good morning.
For being here. Just let's talk about the scope of the problem. How many fake degrees are we talking about?
No idea. You're almost asking me how high is up. There are hundreds of thousands of fake degrees. We know of one operation that from 1998 to 2003 grossed about $435 million. Now, this was the university degree program, and when you got one of those spam mails, telephone the number that was indicated, they would then call you back, and they would start at $2,400 with a $500 instant scholarship, bring you down to $19,000, and then that was negotiable. They sold degrees in every discipline, from aviation to zoology. And some of the harm, this one operation sold degrees in cardiology, dermatology, endocrinology, gerontology, gynecology, neurology, obstetrics, oncology, orthopedics, pediatrics, psychiatry, pharmacology, urology, rheumatology. A little bit different than a Bachelor of Business Administration.
Mm. Let's not forget the plastic surgeon, too.
That is correct.
So here we're definitely talking about there have been MBA degrees sold, for example, and I'm sure that all fields, but it you might indeed be particularly concerned about people who were getting medical degrees or legal degrees and that they were then going out and practicing medicine
or engineering.
Aerospace engineering. Yes, would you like exactly. Someone who's unqualified to be designing an aircraft?
Or aviation?
I think not. Well, then I suppose though that it, right away one would ask the question. Well, obviously yes, this is a problem, but that these are people practicing in professions that are professionally licensed. And if you're going to practice medicine, you're going to practice law. You have to be licensed within the state where you're practicing. Isn't someone going to eventually look at that person's credentials and check and see if, in fact, that is a real university and whether, in fact, that person really graduated from there?
Let me answer that with a story. In Miami, less than 4 months ago, a legitimate school teacher, I think he's age 70, he's now taken an early retirement because there was a little bit of a cloud over him. 10 years ago, he established an entity called Move On Towards Education, M-O-E-T. he was providing continuing education for school teachers for their recertification every 5 years. He had a relationship with five legitimate traditional accredited colleges to offer something like an off-campus course. He did this for more than 10 years, about 1,600 college credits. Those certificates of completion were given to the Miami-Dade School Board, which in turn recertified all those teachers, and they were paid more money. Every bit of that was totally fictitious for more than 10 years. At the same time he did that, the school board hired a fellow who had a bachelor's from Vernell University, a master's and doctorate from Florida State, all three degrees being issued between January and October of 2002 when he applied to the school system. They hired him without checking him. He taught for 2 years, taught more than 300 students, flunked 22 of them. And ironically, Vernell was operated by the same defrocked attorney in Middletown, New York, that sold Senator Susan Collins' staff her degrees from Lexington University in the field of medicine. And those were the subject of her Senate and congressional hearings in the spring of 2004. Hmm. So there's a school system that hired somebody that on its face, all three degrees were issued the same year. They did no check.
Yeah, you should
That's
look
the
at that.
Problem. People aren't doing the checking that you believe they should. Or the bad guy will open up a diploma mill, one letter or one word different than a real school like Southeastern University, one of my first alma maters. I know of a crooked Southeastern that was accepted by a legitimate college transfer credit wise because they got it confused with a real Southeastern.
So it could be fake schools selling fake degrees, or there could be someone selling fake degrees from a school that actually does exist.
Right.
Could be either of those.
Or look-alikes, sound-alikes, or counterfeits. You have the whole realm.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about the licensing issue. This is really a global problem. We are the providers of fake degrees to the world, and of the diploma mill operations I know the most about, roughly half of their customers are overseas. There's a fake medical school run by an American from California, which claims to be in Liberia, for example. And though the profits are, I would think, largely American in take, what's happening is that he's launching people who supposedly are physicians into parts of the world that don't have adequate licensing procedures. Liberia is particularly prey to American entrepreneurs who do terrible things there because the government is so badly damaged from the Civil War. So what's happening is that some of the diploma mills run by Americans are able to inject danger into places where oversight is just too hard for the governments to do right now. Mm-hmm. So we have responsibilities that are more general, more global than just to damage to Americans caused by Americans. It's damage to other parts of the world caused by Americans too.
Well, and you raise the point about now that this being a worldwide industry, I think this is when you look at the history of selling degrees, and it's been going on, as you point out in the book, it's been going on for a long time. Sounds as if there has been a quantum leap in the business of selling degrees when the internet came along, because
totally.
This now makes it much, much easier for someone, for you to have your operation, your degree selling operation based anyplace in the world.
Agreed.
And get in contact with your people, do business over the internet. You can solicit them that way. You can do everything that's required, and it makes it much easier if that's the business you want to be in.
You're totally right. The internet has exponentially changed the game in degree mills. We have Americans that are running their own degree mills that are targeting specific foreign countries where graduate-level U.S. degrees have a high value. We have foreigners targeting the U.S. market. So it goes both ways. One of the things that I'm going to mention this afternoon is a website called diplomasunlimited.com. They're offering counterfeit degrees and transcripts on 1,780 legitimate, traditional, accredited United States schools. Not only are they offering that, you can also buy from them the entire University of Illinois system, Chicago, Springfield, Urbana-Champaign, both degree and transcript on a security paper. They have a drop-down box where you can select the country, and you can click on to get a list of what's available in that country. Australia, Canada, Hong Kong, Denmark, Greece, India, Ireland, Israel, Japan, Kuwait, Mexico, New Zealand. And then there's a drop-down box, Russia, drop-down box for the United States. And then it lists them in all in alphabetical order with verification. They give you a phone number to give the employer for verification. This happens to be run from Hong Kong, and they're selling our schools. So it's global in nature. Our crooks are crooking them. Their crooks are crooking us.
Well, supposing I wanted to get myself a PhD from the University of Illinois, what would it cost me?
$69.99 delivered within a one week via FedEx.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I understand that you, over your career, accumulated quite an impressive array of degrees yourself.
Yes, sir, I did. I have, I believe
many MBAs,
I have 10
medical
bachelors,
degrees.
19 masters, 4 PhDs, and 2 MDs. And then I had the duty to then testify at federal grand juries on these individuals and in some cases to arrest them after we had executed the federal search warrants. But it is sad. I have 2 daughters. My eldest daughter graduated from the University of North Carolina, and I spent about $25,000 sending her to school there. My youngest graduated 4 years ago or 2 years ago from the University of Florida. You cannot take away the education that both of my daughters received at their schools. However, I have bought a counterfeit degree on each of their schools. So you can devalue the piece of paper that they walked out with, although you can't take their education away. I think it's sad that this is available on the market today. And even sadder, there is no concerted effort by any federal or state law enforcement agency to do a single thing about it, period. And that's what allows it to continue.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. The internet, going back to that a little bit, makes new opportunities for commerce. It also makes new opportunities for all sorts of bad illegal behavior. It makes me think a lot of what perhaps happened in the world when sufficiently complex organisms came about so that viruses could come into the world, would have hosts that they could prey on. So initially, they were probably large multicelled organisms, and then viruses arose, and then methods to combat the viruses came into existence. And now we have a very sophisticated immune system that we come into the world with to fight these things. I think the internet's commercial exploitation probably really took off about 10 years ago. And the response to the threats that come about through new opportunities like the internet take a while to arise, just like they would in biological systems. I've been in touch with a U.S. Secret Service investigation looking into an organization based on the West Coast that's maybe, well, in the state of Washington, that's very sophisticated. And I think the agents there have been surprised at the level of sophistication that the bad guys bring to things. They initially went in assuming, I think, that it was going to be a mail and wire fraud investigation. But they found from some of the documents I brought in here that there was money being paid to Liberian government officials, that there were fake embassies created, fake crediting organizations, very complex things. And so I think it's taken the investigators and the enforcers by surprise, but now they're beginning to respond. And I'm hoping that the rather heroic efforts in this one investigation then will lead to a realization that this is a hundreds of millions of dollars a year business that needs to have some sort of permanent attention paid to that. I think there will be something that happens as a result of this.
We have a caller. I want to bring him into the conversation. Let me introduce again our guests. George Gollan, he's professor of physics at the University of Illinois. Alan Easel, he is a former FBI agent specializing in white-collar crime when he was with the FBI. He also, back in 1980, established the FBI's Diploma Scam Task Force, and for the next 11 years, was involved in many investigations on suspected degree mills throughout the United States and abroad. He is the co-author of a book on this subject, Degree Mills, the Billion-Dollar Industry That Has Sold Over a Million Fake Diplomas. It's published by Prometheus Books. He'll be giving a talk on this subject this afternoon on the U of I campus at 4 at the Levis Faculty Center. So if you're interested, you can stop by. Otherwise, questions here are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Here is a caller to talk with in Urbana, line number one.
Yes, good morning. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Yeah, I kind of sweated my 2 degrees, and I would hate to think how easy it is to forge them. I came in late to your presentation. Could you explain again the 2 different ways that there is fraud in these diploma mills? And also, how in the world do they give official transcripts? Isn't that, you know, something that's only done by the issuing university? I'm talking about an official transcript, say, from the University of Illinois or the University of Michigan.
Good morning. And you are correct. An official transcript is only issued by the institution from which you graduated. Let's just call these bootlegs, because needless to say, they are not official. They may look official like the degree would. The degree is probably the same layout as the real school, but the signatures may be wrong for the particular year that you have picked to graduate. In my case, the degrees that I've bought on that were counterfeits of real schools, including a law degree, they were perfect replicas of the real degree, except the signatures were wrong for the year that I graduated. In this area, you have your fictitious schools, your degree mills on the left-hand side that may be fictitious in nature, or they may be legitimate in a particular state and have an office. And then on the right-hand side, you're going to have your counterfeits on legitimate schools. So it runs the spectrum, and you can have anything in the spectrum. It can be a briefcase school. It can be a school with an office, a school that it could have purchased a prior educational institution building, so it's known in the community as being an educational building, all the way to the counterfeit. So it runs the gamut.
So somebody can make a counterfeit University of Illinois degree and transcripts.
Well, anyone with a printing press can print anything they want. The brazenness of the activities is remarkable, I find. And so what they do is generally going to be illegal, but they feel that for their own commercial interests, I guess, they're going to do it anyway. Anyone can walk into a bank where they have an account and make a withdrawal if they have adequate funds. That bears some resemblance perhaps to someone walking into a bank, pulling out a gun and robbing the bank. Mm-hmm. It's not a legal activity, but it does happen sometimes.
There were several websites that I've seen that offered degrees and transcripts for sale.
From
any school, that you wanted, or a set list that they had. And then they indicated on the website that if you submit to them a degree or a transcript of an institution they do not have in stock, they will give you your degree for free. So this is one of the ways, besides flea markets, things of that nature, and prior counterfeiting operations, that they're able to obtain their stock. Many years ago, about 1983 or 84, I raided a place in Grants Pass, Oregon, called Alumni Arts. They were offering counterfeit degrees only, no transcripts. He drew the line there on over 320 schools. When we hit this place, we took 32,000 diplomas. They were, when you design your printing plates in your master, you don't print just one document. You print 100. So they had them shrink wrap going down the hallway alphabetically. So I'll take one of that, two of this, and three of those. But they are quite sophisticated now.
And there are no official state or federal laws?
No, ma'am. Most states have laws governing the manufacture, possession, and use of counterfeit degrees and transcripts on any school that's part of your state university system. So that law is going to differ in each state. There is no federal law that governs the manufacture and use of this material. That's why we have it.
And no international law, obviously.
None that I've seen. None that I've heard of.
Well, thank you. Do keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Other questions, comments are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. So it is clearly, not only is it clearly illegal to misrepresent yourself, to say that you were an attorney when you're not, or to graduate, that you've graduated from some place that you haven't, that may not even exist. So not only is it illegal clearly for someone to misrepresent themselves, but even for me, just if I open up a little business and I said, just for grins, if you'd like to have a Harvard degree to put up on your wall, I'll print one for you. It's just for entertainment purposes only. Even if I present myself that way, and make it very clear. Maybe I even say to the person, now don't you go out and claim that you're actually a graduate of Harvard, okay? This is just for fun. That is clearly against the law.
I don't think so. I think if you, but you would be the expert, Alan, but I think if you produce novelty degrees that remove some of the peril that the producer is in.
Generally speaking, if I purchase a degree from a degree mill, and buy it as a novelty item, hang it on the wall at my bar at home, do not use it on a resume, do not give it to an employer, do not present myself as having those academic credentials, I probably have not violated the law. Generally, though, people don't buy it for that. They buy it to use it, to get a job, to use it to get a promotion, to make the false statement. So counterfeit money is illegal to manufacture, possession, use. A counterfeit degree on the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is probably, under state law, illegal to manufacture, possession, use. A degree mill degree can be illegal to buy and use, depending on how you used it. But sheer possession of a diploma mill degree is not like possession of counterfeit currency or possession of a counterfeit University of Illinois.
Yeah.
We have three different venues.
That's I don't hope we're not splitting hairs here, but I guess I'm interested in when you are, if you're going to prosecute someone who is running a degree mill, whether it's possible for them to make the argument that says, look, I'm not responsible for what people do with these degrees. If people go out and misrepresent themselves, you know, that's not my problem. Is it in fact clear when if you go into some of the places that Alan, you said you've gone into, these places where you walk down the hall and they have stacks of hundreds or thousands of degrees, and there's Indiana and there's Illinois and there's Nebraska and then there's Kansas, it's very clear that what they are doing is illegal and can be prosecuted?
The FTC in 2003 went after this university degree program organization. That's the outfit Alan mentioned that sold $435 million worth of degrees over the course of 5 years. Their model for prosecution was that this organization was selling degrees, the customers were taking those degrees and then using them to defraud their own customers. And that made the degree mill guilty also of violation of Title 15 of the U.S. Code. So I think there's some precedent for the producer of the fake degrees to be held liable when their customers go off and defraud people. And I would think that an organization that's selling for something that's way, way higher than the cost of producing the piece of paper will have a hard time maintaining that it's producing novelty degrees for entertainment only. Why would one of those cost $1,000?
Good point. The one place that we visited that had the most volume in degrees, on some of the degrees in 1/32nd of an inch character, printed on the bottom of the face of the degree, was a standard paragraph, novelty purposes only, no education on, you know, is inferred. And that's right where the frame is going to go. There was not a banner going diagonally across. So we knew, and he knew, that was his out. The out didn't work, okay? Yeah. This was third-party fraud. He knew what he was selling. The buyer knew what he was buying, but the third party didn't have a clue. So there was one operation called St. Regis University. Ironically, it happened to be a diploma mill. Had it not been a diploma mill, those people that bought those degrees in the state of Georgia, the school teachers, No Child Left Behind, where we want all school teachers to get increased education, they were obtaining a legitimate bachelor's, becoming employed, and then buying a master's and a doctorate from St. Regis, and then spoon-feeding the education department with those graduate-level degrees and being paid more for it. And it could have just as easy been a degree mill degree. they schnookered the Department of Education people. Now, they all lost their jobs, had to forfeit the money, lost their teaching credentials, and then the DA had to decide if he was going to prosecute. But again, they're using credentials that weren't legitimate, be it replica, be it a diploma mill degree, to benefit financially and to defraud us, because we would expect the school teachers to have the education that they contend that they did.
Yeah. One of the things – I have a caller here I want to get to, but I think one of the points I want to make sure that we make, and I know that George Gollum wanted to make, is that you're not casting aspersions on the idea of distance learning. That is, there are many universities, and this is one of them, that you can get a degree that way. What we're talking about is something where the degree is awarded for doing no work, or maybe there is some token thing that you have to do, but in many cases, all you're doing is you're writing a check to somebody who is then sending you this piece of paper that says that you have that degree.
That's right. There's an interesting, I guess, legislative history in the state of North Dakota. North Dakota is the state with the largest fraction of its population living in frontier level population density, it's called. It's less than 10 people per square mile. And I think in 2002, North Dakota realized that since it did not have any legislation to regulate distance learning, for example, what was happening was the state was becoming a haven for diploma mills, which would come in, would set up, would slickly advertise their product, and would rip off the folks living out in the wilds in North Dakota who wanted to get an MBA, wanted to continue their education. So the state, to try to regulate distance learning, passed unanimously in the state legislature the toughest laws in the country. It became a Class C felony in North Dakota to run a diploma mill. Distance learning has an important place in the world for people who've been out of school for a little while and realize that they like to advance their education. And it's done, I would think, reasonably well in some places. What will fool people is that there are some universities that are accredited. They've got the same kind of credentials as the state universities that we all know about, which provide mostly distance learning. About half of their students are distance learning students. They're for-profit schools. The structure of their programs, the relationship between the university and the faculty is a little different from here, but they're real schools. But since they're for-profit schools, they advertise a lot. And people are rather confused by this and think that when they see ads on TV from these schools that they're seeing diploma mill ads. They're not. Those are real schools. They're not like the University of Illinois. They're not research institutions, but they are real schools. And it's really a real service that needs to be provided to have educational opportunities for someone who can't really go to classes during the day, who wants to work in the evening or work at set times when his or her family obligations are not in conflict.
I agree with Dr. Gollum. Distance education is legitimate. My own daughter is doing her master's at Boston University online, and the federal government's paying for it. It is real. But you must remember that degree mills are nothing more than criminal enterprises operated by con men that are like chameleons. They change their color with their surroundings. They adapt to the times. What George was talking about in North Dakota, it was Washington University that later became Ashington University. When they left North Dakota because of the legislation, they set up shop in Louisiana. They agreed to accept transfer credits from Trinity College and University in Dallas, which is the university that awarded an MBA degree to the cat Colby Nolan, which was owned by the Assistant Attorney General in Pennsylvania. And it took that MBA degree for the Texas Attorney General to then close down the school. And then along came Hurricane Katrina, and that took care of the school in Louisiana. And now we have to wait to see if FEMA funds are going to be used to rebuild the degree mill in Louisiana that used to be in North Dakota.
Let's talk with a caller here in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, there was a article in the Boston Globe a while back which was kind of an expose of Harvard's grading system, how it almost exclusively awarded A's and B's, and something like 90% of the graduates were graduating with honors. you know. So my what I'm going to talk about is in part how the universities themselves have been selling diplomas to some extent. In Britain last year, there was an investigation done by the Observer, and entitled and an article was published called, entitled "Degrees for Sale at UK Universities." And the point of the article was that in their investigation, they found staff, university staff, under pressure to pass foreign students studying for master's degrees because the income was keeping many universities afloat. And I would suggest that if you look at state U.S. universities, you're going to find the same situation. But be that as it may, my real complaint here is that so far, at least, no one has really put the screws to the personnel departments out there. Because in my opinion, these personnel departments are being used as a way to discriminate without involving administrators. Because in most cases, these personnel departments, all they need to do, and they're the ones that are tasked with checking credentials, all they really need to do is call the institution to verify that the degree is, you know, was in fact earned, as stated by the person stated, and I'm quite sure that what they do is they'll allow, you know, the right person to slide and not check their credentials, whereas when someone of color, for example, comes up, they will, you know, check the credentials like they're supposed to. So I'd like you to comment on all that, and I've got one parting story here, which I happen to have heard recently, about a comedian who was talking about her life, and she said that she learned to, this is another slam at personnel departments, she learned to stuff her resume with all sorts of flashy credentials, and she would put an asterisk at the end of you know, each line that was completely fabricated, and she was not once called on it. And well, actually, she was called on it once, and she was in, and because at the very end of her resume she had asterisk L-I-E, you know, lie, and the one time she was called on it, she said it stood for Long Island Expressway, and she got away with it. So please talk about personnel departments and the way they're doing a lousy job, and how that may have ramifications for minorities and other people trying to get ahead in this country. And I'll hang up. Thanks.
Well, the caller makes some points that are really that are connected, and yet they're very different from what we're talking about here. And I don't know if you want to address them, particularly the issue. And it's a legitimate question. That is, if someone comes in and presents you, you're applying for a job because someone comes in and presents you with some set of credentials. Is it not your responsibility to make sure that they're genuine?
Yeah, of course it is. The sorts of things that can happen, though, is that even when an HR office is doing a really good job of things, they can be fooled. There was a case of a patent law firm in the West Coast, which paid, as I recall, $25,000 to a headhunting firm to recommend a new lawyer to them. They were looking for someone with advanced training in the life sciences. And this national headhunting firm found for them a fellow who had a PhD in biochemistry from Wexford University. The headhunting firm, widely respected operation, even said they did criminal background checks on people. Now, so this the partners of the law firm deal with lots of very high risk in terms of loss of venture capital law, and they really, really, really need to have highly qualified experts who are on their staff as associates. So by following the advice of this venture, the headhunting firm, they hired a guy who had a diploma mill PhD. He had a real law degree. He had a fake biochemistry PhD. They did their due diligence. They went to the real experts to evaluate this guy. It's just that something very odd happened at the headhunting firm. So they ended up firing the guy. They were challenged in court by him. They didn't. They prevailed. They sued the headhunting firm. But they really did everything they should have done. They went to experts, and they got hammered anyway. They got out of it without losing their shirts. But if he had gotten through, if they had lost a case because of him, then the venture capital folks, I think, would have come and just disassembled their law firm.
We see a lot of this with expert witnesses that want that elusive doctorate and psychologically want to be called doctors. So we see a lot of people that will buy the doctorate. I totally agree with the caller. It's 100% up to the HR department, the hiring officials, to check out the credentials. The problem is, in our country, we treat everyone at face value. We assume it is what it is. We don't pay attention to resume fraud. And there is a high percentage, I think it's 30 to 45% of resumes that are puffed up. So it's totally up to the HR department to check out the credentials right then with the school. And there's so many resources out there to do it, especially with the advent of the computer, with Google, with the Department of Education, with the Office of Degree Authorization in Oregon, many ways to check out the credentials. The best way, call any college or university and ask, will you accept transfer credits from this specific university located at this address? If the answer is no, then you know what you've got right there. But with Google and with the other search engines, you can check out any school. The part about color, I've never experienced that. It's my opinion that if an HR department or any business is slipshod, it's slipshod across the board. I don't think it's race-based.
We have two guests here with us in the studio. Let me introduce again because some people might have just have tuned in. Last person you heard is Alan Easel. He's a former FBI agent. He worked for the FBI for 35 years and during his time there founded and headed the agency's Diploma Mill Task Force and testified in many state and federal courts on this issue of diploma mills. In fact, he's also the co-author of a book on the subject. It's titled Degree Mills, the Billion-Dollar Industry that has sold over a million fake diplomas, and it's published by Prometheus Books. He'll be talking on this subject on the U of I campus this afternoon, 4 o'clock at the Levis Faculty Center on the third floor. That's on West Illinois in Urbana. And anybody who is interested in attending should feel welcome to stop by. Also here joining us this morning, George Gollin. He's professor of physics at University of Illinois. 333-9455, our number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. I'm just curious about how, Professor Gollin, you became interested in this issue yourself. I can understand how the FBI man here got into it, but how did you get into it?
Let me answer that in a second. I want to make one comment about the HR issue.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't have data. I'm not an HR professional. So I don't have data on what level of scrutiny is applied to a job candidate who is of a different ethnic background or different racial background from the human resources professional. I wouldn't be too surprised if that someone from a different cultural background was viewed as in need of a closer look than someone who is of the same cultural background as the HR person. I just don't know. Okay, so I don't feel that I can say with confidence that race or national origin enters or doesn't enter into the claim. I mean, Alan's considerably more expert on this than I am, but I'm not going to feel confident that it's always a fair procedure that goes on. It might be, it might not be. I just don't. I wouldn't know.
Nor do I have data, so I can't say it from that perspective. But from all the work that we've seen, all the companies that have hired hundreds and thousands of people with degree mill degrees or counterfeit degrees, they're just not checking them out. No.
Okay.
Okay, so how did I get into this?
How did you get into this?
How I got into this was that the university degree program used to send around spam that would come not as email messages but as system alert messages that would interrupt whatever was going on in the computer that would then, instead of saying the file server is about to crash, you'd better save your work and log off,
they'd say that anyone could get a degree by calling this number. So since these are interrupting my work, my lab work, our student computer usage, I called the number on the ad one day to take the head off of the person over the phone who was going to pick up the phone. But there was no one there. There was an answering machine. So I left my contact information. And a few days later, someone who sounded very much like Andrei Codrescu, an Eastern European accent, he's an NPR commentator, right, from Romania, called with the very Anglo name Joseph Kent to tell me I could buy a degree in anything I wanted for $4,400, but he would give me a $900 discount, I think, if I just gave him my credit card number right there. So at that point, I thought, oh, this is like a scam of someone selling exercise machines that actually won't make me look as good as the model, but it's just a matter of taking money for stuff, and the stuff's not so good, and that's all there is to it. But Mr. Kent told me that the name of the school was Parkwood University, and so I looked on the web to see if I could find Parkwood, and I started to discover that there were people in clinical positions with Parkwood and other related diploma mill degrees. So with knowledge comes responsibility sometimes, because here there didn't seem to be much out there on the web that would let people understand that these were all fake schools. And so I started to post material to the web. What happened after a while was that people who are experts in this, like Alan, like John Baer, Alan's co-author, began to see my stuff. It would just be found in Google searches. And I started to have email contact with people who are in higher ed about diploma mills. So some months after getting involved in this, material I put on the web about St. Regis University, whose operators are currently under federal indictment in Washington, got the attention of the staff, the people running St. Regis University. They, claiming to be diplomats at the Liberian embassy, sent threatening correspondence to the University of Illinois and me, saying that we were going to be sued unless I removed purely factual information from the web. And so we had a bit of a fight about that. Now, at the time the university and I discussed this, we knew that the email messages that said they were from the Liberian embassy actually came from a real estate school in Spokane, Washington. And we knew that the email from a university president in St. Petersburg actually came from the, in quotes, dean of the faculty of St. Regis, who lives in upstate New York. But even so, until we had this better resolved, it just did not seem like a risk that the university was comfortable with. So the state of Oregon took the material I had on the university site. And in the face of continuing threats from the bad guys, I looked more into who they were and what their information was. So I think what happened was I knew that there was a real risk to the community because these were very good at fooling people. And that made me feel I had a responsibility to put the information out into the world. And then they came after me in the University of Illinois. And so that made it considerably more important that I stick with this and hammer these suckers flat.
Mm. Let me interject one thing. Mm-hmm. I've been in this business since about 1980. Dr. Gollan is the only civilian that any of us have ever seen that have stepped forward to do something about an area that he was previously not involved in. There's been no one in law enforcement that stepped up to be point guard and to run with the ball like Dr. Gollan did. If more people would do what he has done, both on campus, email, legislatures in Washington, Dr. Gollan and I made a presentation to House and Senate staffers in August up on Capitol Hill about the problem. If more people would step up to the plate like he did, we'd have less of a daggone problem that we do out there now.
Well, there were, from time to time, there have been hearings on the subject in Congress. Back in the mid-'80s, there were, and then more recently, there were. And what you seem to be arguing for, you talked earlier about the fact that from state to state, there are laws that would say have something to say about having a degree mill or issuing fake degrees. But that sounds like what you're arguing for is there – you would say that there should be a federal law, one standard that would be the same that would cover all states. Is there any sort of interest, do you think, in Congress in passing such a law?
I don't see an interest. They held hearings. The House Education Committee held hearings last September. That question was brought up. If they would change some of the existing laws that exist now, we have fraud by wire that covers a computer and the telephone. We've got the mail fraud that covers every delivery service. If we could find a way to cover all of the ISPs where these colleges exist in the virtual world, and then if we would enforce the laws that are already on the books that no one is enforcing, like the laws of supply and demand, if the employer will check out the person when they apply, if they will embarrass the person that uses fictitious credentials, if the locals will prosecute using the false and deceptive practices statutes that already exist on the books. For example, this where I can buy a degree from University of Illinois or Urbana-Champaign. If you would use your state laws to prosecute those people, and then at the same time, if the FBI, Secret Service, Post Office, anyone would set up a task force on education fraud and come after the operators sooner or later, supply and demand, you'll meet in the middle. And it can something can be done. But there's no concerted effort by anyone now to do anything about it. That's why we have the problem.
I think that's going to be changed. I think that as a result of what comes out from investigations now, there'll be sufficient concern so that it can be made to go forth. Just seeing the footprint of this St. Regis operation is should be sufficiently alarming. I think what got the interest of the Secret Service was that they noticed that the operators of St. Regis were also selling visa-qualifying credentials to people so they could enter the United States as if they were experts in engineering, for example. They're called H-1B visas. They were selling the analyses of the visa applicants' job and education experiences. Half of the customers were overseas of this operation, and many of those, most of those, were to the Middle East. So there's a real concern that a diploma mill operation is not just a consumer fraud problem. It's also a business that has national security implications. And I think that's why the Secret Service and now Senator Collins' committee actually are interested in this. Now, there's a historical analogy of how things can be made to change dramatically that I think is very telling. The U.S. currency production in the mid-19th century was done by individual states, and many of them contracted out to banks just to print scrip. The quality of the bills were not very high. They were easy to counterfeit. And at the time of the Civil War, the estimate is that between a third and a half of all U.S. currency was counterfeit. The morning of the day he was shot, Abraham Lincoln commissioned the Secretary of the Treasury to do something about this, and thus was created the U.S. Secret Service, which initially was meant to suppress currency fraud. The Secret Service went after the counterfeiters, and in not that many years, the rate of fake currency appearance in the U.S. dropped from half to 0.01%, 1/100 of 1%, and it continues to remain very low. And it took a small, focused effort by some number of investigators to do this. I think something that's of the same scale as Allen's dip scam operation, three federal investigators, one of whom is a banking expert, one of whom is a high-tech computer whiz, would just fix the problem. And I think we're going to make progress on encouraging that be done.
I hope that happens. I was present in 85 when Congressman Claude Pepper's subcommittee met and talked about national new legislation to govern fictitious physicians. Nothing ever came of that. Washington went back to sleep and only woke up in 03 and 04 when the high-ranking official at Department of Homeland Security was publicized as having purchased degrees from a Wyoming degree mill. Then Senator Collins bought her degrees, had hearings. The House Education had their hearings. There's a lot of talk out of Washington, but there's no action. So only time will tell if they go back to sleep again.
Yeah. Well, we're just about at the point, I think, that we're going to have to finish because we're here at the end of the hour. However, if you're interested in hearing more on this subject here, and you're in and around Champaign-Urbana, Alan Easel, our guest, will be talking on the subject. Degree Mills yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He'll be giving a presentation this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Levis Faculty Center on the U of I campus. That's on West Illinois. This is sponsored by the Center for Advanced Study and is open to the public. Anybody who was interested in attending should feel welcome. He is also the co-author of a book that you can read if you'd like to read on the subject. It's titled Degree Mills, the billion-dollar industry that has sold over a million fake diplomas. It's published by Prometheus Books. We also want to thank both Alan Easel for being here, a former FBI agent, and also George Gollan. He's professor of physics from the University of Illinois. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.